1 John chapter 1, and it says page 862 in your pew Bibles. First John 1, beginning at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus' Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. Father, we thank you for your word and the word in our lives. Now, God, your servant today, as you prepared in his heart and laid on his heart the message. And we thank you for this time. Amen.
I don't think we're going to dismiss Children's Church this morning. This just kind of a last minute thought to not do that. But this is Father's Day. And I thought it would be good for whole families to be able to be together in this service today. And so I'm going to ask that we not dismiss the Children's Church. You know, we are a blessed congregation in many ways. And two of those little blessings are with us today. And so I'm going to ask a couple of mamas to bring some kids forward. This is very appropriate for Father's Day. And so we're going to, Carrie, since you're all the way back there, I'm going to ask you to please bring Levi. Let me have this little guy. Come here, buddy. Hi. I've got two arms. Thank you. I see she's walking away. She is very trusting. Within the next week or two, we're going to have this little guy on my left, your right, dedicated to the Lord. And that's going to be an amazing moment in the life of this family. Then this little guy's going to sleep until he gets to a period of time whenever mom and dad decide what they're going to do there. But you know, Father's Day, this amazing gift just helps to swell the heart and the life of an individual. And fathers, you understand that. I know moms are going, they didn't go through delivery. Yes, they did. They put up with you going, no, I'm just teasing. I am just teasing. But there is such an amazing, amazing moment when a father is able to lay his eyes on that child for the very first time. And then to think that God is trusting us to be an example before our children that reflects God himself becomes an overwhelming gift, but a tremendous responsibility. And folks, in some cases, especially in our society today, the church has to become dad. With so many single parents and that type of thing, there needs to be a strong male role model. Sometimes it's a grandparent. Sometimes it's the church. Just kind of needs to step up and say, we're going to help in every way we can to raise that child. You know, and we as a church, regardless, even if mom and dad are both here, we as a church still have a great opportunity in the lives of these two. They are right now blank slates. And what's going to be written on their hearts and on their minds is going to be greatly due to our faithfulness as a church. And that's an important, important moment for these children. And so I pray that you will seriously take both of these little guys and that you will be praying for them. You'll be praying for parents, grandparents, siblings, cousins, aunts, uncles, that each one would genuinely be an example that God will be able to be pleased with, so that these little guys can come to know Jesus Christ personally and have the opportunity to be saved from a life of eternal separation from God. And so I pray that we will commit ourselves to helping in the raising of these children and in all of the children. Let's have a word of prayer for these two guys, okay? Our gracious Father, we bring these two beautiful babies, your gifts, before this congregation and before you. And Lord, we pray and ask that you would even this moment set up opportunities for them to be protected from evil, that you would set up every open window where they'll be able to escape the problems and the pains of sin and its results. And so, Lord, bless these two children. Bless parents, grandparents, each and every one who's going to be involved in their lives. Lord, I pray for every one of their Sunday school teachers. From now until they're 98, Lord, may each Sunday school teacher take seriously their job in teaching truth. May every pastor who ministers to them have a heart and a passion to teach truth and to preach truth, regardless of what the world says, so that these can have the opportunity to have life. And so, Lord, may your Spirit dwell with them, speak to them, so that at very young ages they'll come to know you personally. For it's in your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, ladies. You know, as I was contemplating the particular message that I wanted to bring on this Father's Day, I couldn't help but think of this, what we have with the Father. You know, as I look at life and look at people in life, I realize that not everyone is gifted and graced with a father who has a passion for Jesus Christ. But you know what? That is not a reason for us to not look to God as our Heavenly Father. For He does have a passion for us. He has a passion to be one with us. He has a passion to walk with us in every circumstance in life. He has a passion to go with us wherever we go, to be our God, to protect us and to love us, and to give us a shelter that we can go to in those times when it seems like the world's caving in and everything is being crushed. We have an amazing God who loves us that much that He draws close to us and He identifies with us in all that we go through. He's not unacquainted with the difficulties in life. And that's an amazing, amazing gift. And you know, in reality, when we celebrate Father's Day, the very first element of that should always be to celebrate our Heavenly Father. Him first, Him foremost. To honor our earthly fathers, yes, but to celebrate our Heavenly Father. I want to share with you this morning six things that we have with the Father. And we're going to be jumping around in the Scriptures, so please bear with me. But I had Bruce read this morning this first chapter of the book of 1 John. But I want us to focus our thoughts to begin with in that third verse. But I want to share with you six things, and here they are. I want to share with you that we have with the Father fellowship with the Father. Second, access to the Father. Third, guidance to the Father. Fourth, security from the Father. Fifth, correction from the Father. And then sixth, the inheritance of the Father. So please bear with me as we work through these six elements. First of all, I want you to notice fellowship with the Father. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. And I'm going to read it from the New American Standard Version. It reads like this. What we have seen and heard and proclaimed to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You know what? As we look at the overall scheme of life, isn't it amazing that God doesn't just put things on this earth, give her a spin, and say, okay, when it all spins down, everything will be accounted then. But God doesn't do that. Instead, He draws close to you and I. He holds us. He encourages us. He demonstrates His great love for us by walking daily through the life that we have to walk through. And you know, that should always be a reminder that since He is ever present with us, since He is walking with us as our Heavenly Father, we should always endeavor to bring Him honor and not to bring Him shame. To glorify Him and not to grieve His Spirit. That we should always walk in such a fashion that it demonstrates our gratitude for His presence with us. In life, when we look at our earthly fathers, we have particular moments in our lives when that we'll remember the rest of our lives. That is an identity with our dad. And if I were to go around this congregation and say, "Okay, what is your special memory of your dad?" Most in this congregation would be able to say, well, you know what? It was playing catch with my dad, or it was going for ice cream with my dad. Don't everybody get up and leave. TJ's is having the free Sundays today for dads, but it doesn't start till after church. All right. So I'll try my best to let you out early so you can beat some of the other churches there, if that's what. We can all take a special moment or activity or something that really identifies us with our earthly father. Those are tremendous, tremendous gifts that come from the hand of God. Are there bad memories sometimes? Yeah. Yeah. But they're not honorable to focus on. Sometimes, folks, we just need to let go of those kinds of moments and reflect upon the good and the awesome things that God has provided for us in our earthly Father. God fellowships with us as we fellowship with Him. He draws close so that we can have a unique moment of relationship with Him. Always seek those moments to build your life. Second thing is that we also have with the Father, we have access to the Father. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, we read these words, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." By whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That word Abba is a term of endearment. It means papa. It means daddy. And you know, as Paul is writing to the church there at Rome and to the believers there at Rome, he is trying to let them know that God desires an intimate relationship with us and an association with us that makes us realize that He cares about everything that takes place in our lives. He wants us to literally be so close and involved with Him that He is not the God who is afar off and we have to shout at to get His attention, but that He dwells in our very hearts and that He draws very, very close to us. Abba, Father, we have been adopted into the family of God, and that gives us an amazing opportunity to discover what a real dad needs to be. A father who is not uninformed or uncaring, but a father who loves us. Guys, sometimes we have been failed by our fathers. Sometimes we have failed as fathers. The grace that we want demonstrated to us by our children, we should demonstrate as well. Realizing that none of us is perfect, but that all of us have been flawed, we need to show grace. Maybe undeserved, but it's what unites us. It's grace that brings us into a relationship with God. And so we need to reflect that grace to our own earthly fathers, just like we want our kids to have grace with us. I would love to be able to have my kids forget every time that they got paddled when they were young and only remember the hugs that they got. Because I'm going to be honest with you, there were a lot more hugs than there were paddlings. But somehow, they remember the paddlings. I don't know if they remember the lessons that were the reason for the paddlings, but nonetheless, they remember the paddlings. And maybe that has helped them to stay out of some troubles. It didn't stop Lynette from marrying Tom. Just teasing. Still, it's an amazing thing when we realize that although there have been failures, We as fathers are still accessible. A simple prayer and a call out to God draws His attention. The simple response of a child to a father gets their attention. We need to be accessible, dads. You know what? Sometimes that work is not as important as that moment of connection. Now, there needs to be a balance. I understand that. But sometimes that ball game is not near as important as fixing the bicycle or making some kind of a connection with our kids. Let's be accessible. Our Father is accessible to us at any moment. We need to be accessible as well. The next thing is that we have guidance by the Father. In the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 13, we read this: "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you the things to come." And then Psalm 32, verse 8 says this: "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with My eye." You see, these areas of the Trinity tie together very, very closely. The Holy Spirit gives us guidance and direction on how He has been directed by the Father. And He reflects to us and recalls to us the teachings and the principles of Jesus and all that He went through. He brings us a moment of encouragement, a moment of spiritual strength. He brings us His very presence into our lives every moment of every day. And the Father has promised, as He did in Psalms, that He has promised, "Look, I will guide you by My eye. I see," what He's saying is, "I see all things. I know everything that's going to happen to you. I know every pitfall that is going to be in your path. I know every pothole that you can stumble over. And I'll guide you around if you'll simply listen to My voice." Folks, we need to listen to the voice of God. He loves us and is not wanting to harm us. He's not wanting to kill our fun. He instead is wanting to protect us from all evil influences and to give us joy and happiness in our lives. He wants to guide us so that we don't fall, but that we instead live victoriously and a life that is filled with the presence of God. So we have guidance by the Father. Number four, we also have security from the Father. Romans chapter 8, the 28th verse says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." All things work together for good to those who love God. All things. Prison? Yeah, it can. You see, that's what Paul faced. That's what Peter faced. It's what James and John faced and went through when they began to declare the love of God to a world that didn't want to hear anything about Him. And prison was their lot. They still rejoiced and sang and praised God because they knew that all things were going to work out for their good. when God is the one that is placed in His hands. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. You see, it doesn't matter what we have to face. We know that we have the security of the Father's love. We know that we have great opportunities that only He can give. God is totally awesome. He is totally awe-inspiring. He is total love. And He cares about everything that touches our lives. Truly is the God of all grace. The next one, number five, is that we also have correction from the Father. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, kind of steps on our toes a little bit. It's all right. That's why we wear shoes. Hebrews 12, 5 says this, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him." Verse 6, "For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives." Verse 7, "If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" You know, in those three verses, verses 5 through 7, God demonstrates to us that there are times when the only hope that we have is swift correction. When our child is reaching for that electrical outlet, we don't generally sit back and say, "Gee, I wonder what's going to happen. Will that shock them? I wonder." Well, let's watch. You see, that's not what a father does. A father generally speaks gently the first time. Pick that child up, take it away, and say, "Don't touch that. That's going to bite you. That's going to hurt." The child goes back to it. That father had better drive the point home a little more forcefully. Now understand, I'm not talking beating a child. I'm not talking child abuse. But for that child's protection and for their wisdom, sometimes correction has to come swiftly and has to come harshly. You see, that's what the Father does with us. We wander and He puts something in front of us to say, "You know, you need to get back in line." The very first thing He uses is our conscience. And He speaks to us and He says, "You know, this isn't right. This is not my will for you. This is not what I want to be in your life." But if we continue to go the direction that is contrary to what God wants, He speaks a little more forcefully. And His corrections sometimes are very harsh. It's not because He dislikes us, but it's because He loves us. A father does not correct his child because he hates the child, but because he loves the child. And he wants that child to grow and to be an honorable citizen and to be a well-rounded adult. And I have seen some kids, and sometimes it's just so that they can become an adult. Because a child left to themselves will become their own worst enemy. and sometimes not even make it to adulthood. But a loving father will do all that he can to bring that child into a realm of safety and wisdom and patience and understanding so that they can grow and be all that they can potentially be for Christ. You see, that's a true father. And that's the true reason for discipline. To correct them from stepping aside so that they can step forward with God. Number six. I'll move quickly so I can let you out early. Number six. We have the inheritance of the Father. And I love this. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17 says this. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. You see, folks, what an inheritance. What an inheritance. Everything that is Jesus's is being offered to you and I. That's what joint heir means. It means a relationship with God that shares equally. What's Christ is ours. That's the inheritance that God wants us to have. We're going to have, now stop and think about this. When we get to heaven, the Bible tells us that we will know even as we are known. We're going to have perfect wisdom. We're going to have perfect knowledge. That which is shielded from our insight and our intelligence now is going to be fully open when we walk into the presence of Christ. What an amazing, amazing inheritance. All of heaven is going to be ours. Every moment of life will have access with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the presence of God in all things. Wow! Isn't that incredible? It's not like an inheritance here that's either going to rust or burn or blow away. It's that which is eternal and holds eternal value forever. It is a oneness with Christ. It is a oneness with God. That's quite an inheritance. You know who gets it? Those who trust Jesus Christ for salvation. Those who walk in faith and obedience to Him. Those who honor God as God. And God is proud to call us His sons and His daughters. Isn't that amazing? Our earthly parents may not be proud to call us their children, but our Heavenly Father swells with pride with His identity with us. For that reason alone, we should never want to insult Him and never want to walk contrary to what He wishes for us. What do we have with the Father? Six things: fellowship, access, guidance, security, correction, and inheritance. Six amazing gifts from God that He offers to any who will be His children. This is Father's Day. As I look around this congregation, I see many fathers. I even see some folks who had fathers. About 2 o'clock this afternoon, you'll get that. But you know, what I do see is the potential of every one of us to have a connection with God, our Heavenly Father, that no one else has. It's how much He loves us. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to close in a word of prayer. I want to thank you for being here to celebrate with us this Father's Day. I trust that as you have your family moments together, I trust that you will take a moment to connect with your Heavenly Father. Don't just walk out of here and think, okay, my duty's done. Take time to earnestly spend a relation moment with your Heavenly Father. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment we've had to share together. But even more importantly, thank you for drawing close to our service today. Thank you for every one of these individuals who have come out. Thank you for every one of their lives and for the influence, the impact that they can have on this world. And Lord, help us each and every one to fulfill your calling on our lives, to be children who bring joy to your heart. Father, thank you for loving us and providing a way of life through your Son, Jesus. Now, Father, I ask that you would go with us as we leave this place. May you bless us above all things, that we might bring honor and glory and praise to you. For it's in your awesome and holy name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen.